It's always a good time to start anew. So thanks for sharing your afternoon with us here at KKCR. So, a lot of stuff going on in the world. Wow, Donald Trump surging in the polls on the GOP side over in America. He wants to make America great again. I always wonder when that was. On the other side of the fence, you have a Hillary Clinton who just, for all of her name recognition and years in the Beltway, can't seem to get traction with the progressive base of the Democratic Party. And so Mr. Sanders, Bernie, he's making her feel the burn. I know a lot of people on Kauai are excited about Bernie Sanders. Wow, that guy's leading the polls in New Hampshire, and he's within nipping distance in Iowa. So it could be a big surprise to the people who haven't been paying attention, but I think that listeners to KKCR have a much better idea what's going on in the world. So thank you for your giving me a clue. I really appreciate it. The number here is 826-7771. I'm just trying to set up the show real quick, touch on some recent events, and let you know what's coming up. We've got Adam Asquith going to be with us in about 5 minutes. He's a taro farmer in Kealia. He's helping revive the Ahupua'a of Kealia, which is one of the northern Ahupua'a in the Moku of Puna, the Moku of Springs on the east side of Kauai. And then at 5 o'clock, we'll be talking with Nihi, his daughter who's in the 8th grade. One of her favorite things to do all day is have dinner. And I mean, honestly, who doesn't like dinner? She's in the studio now. We'll give you a little teaser. Want to say hey there, Nihi?
Hi.
There you go. Are you stoked for 5 o'clock?
Yep.
And why is that?
Because I get to talk about...
What's for
dinner?
That's going to be great. So stick around, Nihi, and stick around you, the listener, the beautiful listener, as we get ready for this next segment of Water as Wealth, the sordid, twisted, convoluted, sometimes dark history of the fights over water on the islands of Hawaii, and the way the tide is turning today, the way that things seem to be shifting, and the way that we're perhaps looking forward to a new day. Hey, Dean. Happy season's greetings to you. This is Dean Rogers, the GM. He's here in the studio right now. Came in to say hello. Dean, grab a mic just for a second. Tell people hello.
Happy holidays, as I mentioned that.
Oh, there we go. Sorry, try that again. My bad. Aloha, Dean.
Happy holidays.
Oh, likewise from my heart to you.
It's so noisy at the fair, but all your friends are there. And the candy floss you had, and your mother and your dad. Oh, to live on Sugar Mountain with the barkers and the colored balloons. You can't be 20 on Sugar Mountain, though you're thinking that you're leaving there too soon. You're leaving there too soon. There's a girl just down the aisle, oh, and turn and see her smile. You can hear the words she wrote as you read a hidden note. Oh, kill me on Sugar Mountain.
Oh my God, what with for dinner? I'm so excited.
All right, well, we're all excited for what's for dinner. That's going to be at 5. Oh, yeah? What?
I really like that show, too.
Oh.
What's for dinner?
Yeah, no, we're all chomping at the bit. So stick around for 5 o'clock. But until then, don't go anywhere, yeah?
Okay.
All right. So in the background there, that's Sugar Mountain by Neil Young. Kind of a beautiful old tune. I thought it might be an appropriate segue to talk about the history of water on the Hawaiian Islands. You know, surrounded as we are here by thousands of miles of the largest ocean in the solar system, filled with salty water flushed down from continents, being rained on for millions of years, billions of years, it's kind of miraculous that in, you know, thousands of miles away from anywhere else, you have these gigantic volcanic islands that erupt 20,000 feet up from the bottom of the ocean floor up to the surface, where they crest. And as the smooth, warm winds cruise over the Pacific Ocean, the way the land forces the air to lift up, it cools it slightly. And as that heavy, moisture-rich air cools just a little bit, boom, all of a sudden, it rains. And you have, in the middle of the giant, salty ocean in the world, you have beautiful, fresh water in amazing quantities. And when the Hawaiian people first came here, I guess they weren't even Hawaiian yet. They were Polynesians. But when they came here 2,000 years ago, boy, there were these crazy, lush, beautiful green islands erupting out of the blue ocean. And they, I think they looked at that and they said, wow, we are home. And for the next 2,000 years, 1,800 years, they proceeded to plant plants and grow food and sculpt the terrain and tweak it here and fish and make babies and make songs and evolve a language and a culture that is truly amazing. About 250 years ago in 1778, after the Europeans had finally developed an accurate enough marine chronograph, a chronometer, a watch that they could use to confidently tell longitude. They were finally comfortable enough to sail away from the coasts of the continents that they had been crawling along for centuries and finally head out into the open ocean. And when they did, they found the Hawaiian Islands that the Hawaiians had already found 2,000 years before, but they're like, wow. And so you had this, a brand new wave of colonization of islands, and with disease and capitalism and Christianity and all kinds of underhanded things, the last 250 years haven't been always shining examples of humanity's best efforts and intentions. And part of what happened after the kingdom recognized the onslaught of the rest of the world, of the European culture, they quickly reconstituted their society into a constitutional monarchy, allowed the privatization of land, and then began granting leases and permits for diversions for water for the new economic giant in the islands, sugar, sugar cane. There's an amazing book by Ms. Wilcox. You probably are familiar with that, Adam.
Sure am.
Talk about that for a second.
Sugar water. Great compilation of the history of sugar plantation, water development, descriptions and neat photos and documentation of the phenomenal engineering and sociology that went into water development for sugar in Hawaii. Not so much as to what it led to. Some stuff, though, there was some really interesting, and you know what, it wasn't all ditches, you know, particularly here on Kauai, almost all of our sugar irrigation water was gravity-fed diversions from streams. But on many of the islands, most of the water was from wells, either artesian wells like on leeward Oahu in the Ewa Plain, or pumped like in the Kahului Wailuku area of Maui. They had at one time the largest pump in the world.
Yeah, it's incredible. I mean, in the 1800s, the latter half of the 1800s, you not only had the Industrial Revolution taking place around the rest of the world, but folks here were hot to trot to import that.
Yeah.
And I think you had some of the most extensive kind of rewiring of the islands in terms of their hydrology. Like the rain that landed on the far side of the island was captured, diverted, pulled through tunnels, hundreds and thousands of miles of tunnels, thousands of diversions, and kind of turned the island upside down in terms of where the water went.
Indeed, and it wasn't just the technology. The people who understood the technology and implemented the technology had to be brought in too. They brought in the best and brightest engineers that they could find throughout the world, and not only in engineering the water systems, but some of them moved on to engineer our roads here on Kauai, our bridges, and so forth. So the entire infrastructure of the island kind of was built by and came out of that era. So in many ways, you know, we owe them a great debt of gratitude for building the infrastructure that we continue to enjoy today.
Well, it really is some of the foundational infrastructure that we are all still benefiting from. They sort of rebuilt the islands to suit the industrial world.
Yeah, and I should make that clear is that, you know, as we go on with the conversation today and the conversations to come, I am, you know, in no way kind of lambasting that era of water development and usage, nor the current ones. And we'll talk a little bit about the water department today, and I just want to make sure that they know that the good men and women of the water department are hardworking folks who deliver drinking water to us every day without fail, usually, and I want to just give them all my love and support in these holidays because they do a fine job for us. That doesn't mean we can't
do better. There
yeah,
you
that's
go.
That's right.
You know, that's something that's been challenging for me personally because, you know, you look at a situation or I look at a situation and I think, wow, that could be better, and I have a natural tendency inside myself to get angry at that and just trying to figure out whose fault it is and, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. But really, that just doesn't ever go anywhere.
No, it does. It doesn't. But you know, it's important to acknowledge the good things that have been done, the good things that people are doing right now, but make sure that we continue to move forward to make it better or change it to make sure that all people in the larger aspect of the community benefits and not just a select few.
So I copy here of Carol
water.
Wilcox's Sugar Water, Hawaii's Plantation Dishes, as you can see, is well loved. I blent it to Felicia, and she spilled some
I'm sure that she is the one that got it dog-eared.
She spilled some fruit juice on it. So the sugar in the fruit juice is what caused all this mold to bloom. And actually, I love that.
How appropriate.
I love it, yeah, because the sugar water,
yep.
Soaked sugar water. I mean, you know, it's all like, it's so perfect. But I took some notes here at the beginning because I just wanted to let the listener know about sort of the scale of things because it's really quite amazing what they did, the scope and scale of the kind of hydrological changes that they made. She starts off the book with the introduction. She says, sugar is a very thirsty crop. To produce 1 pound of sugar takes 4,000 pounds of water or 500 gallons. 1 ton of sugar needs 4,000 tons of water, or 1 million gallons, and 1 million gallons of water a day is needed to irrigate just 100 acres. And by the 1920s or 30s, in the heyday of the sugarcane industry here, there was 120,000 acres of sugarcane being irrigated, producing 10 billion pounds of sugar a year on an area roughly one-third of the entire size of the island of Kauai, like almost 200 square miles. And this is not just on this island, but the whole archipelago. But still, I mean, that's vast.
It is vast. But that wasn't the first time that the land and the water was engineered to suit the people's needs. I mean, so for the first 2,000 years before that, as the Hawaiians developed what you know, what I would call a taro culture here. They did the same thing. You know, there's estimates, you know, probably between 10 and 20,000 acres of taro were cultivated by Hawaiians at the time that Cook arrived. And that included everything, all areas.
10 to 20,000?
At least that.
Okay.
Yes, because every valley that you could take water out of the stream and put it on some portion of the land that could be leveled to make a taro patch or a lo'i was done. Hunger is a prime motivator.
It'll get you going.
And you know, there's only a few places that we can still see the extent of that engineering, and most of those places are out on the Napali Coast, where we have kind of dry areas that the forest hasn't taken over. You go into places like Nu'ulolo Kai or Nu'ulolo Aina and Mililii and stuff, and you can still see the engineering from wall to wall, from the ocean to the waterfall. Everything was the landscape was re-engineered to grow taro, and the water was brought down and to all of those. So although we're focusing on sugar, it's important to remember that Hawaiians did their own engineering of the landscape to cultivate taro at massive scale.
Right. And I thank you for bringing that up, because it's not to be overlooked. It's actually super important. But what they did was fundamentally different from what the sugar plantations did in two key areas. Don Heacock, the aquatic resources manager for the state of Hawaii, he wanted me very much to make the distinction that the Hawaiians, unlike the sugar plantations, they didn't rob water from one side of the island, take it out of the Aupua'a or even the whole Moku, the whole district, to bring it to the other side of the island. They didn't do that. They always let the water stay where it was. And the lo'i, the taro terraces, the kalo terraces, they slowed the water down, and they acted as sediment traps, as he describes them, almost like kidneys in your body to help clean the water. So, and then finally, they never exported any of their kalo. That was all for local domestic consumption. So they weren't profiting from the richness and the bounty of the island and selling it to the rest of the world to make money. They were enhancing the vitality and the productivity of the lands beyond what they would have done just naturally with the hand of God. You have lots of extra hands, laulima, yeah? And they're doing it to increase the vitality, the productivity, the life of the land itself here, and feed themselves. So those are two fundamentally different motivations and two fundamentally different approaches to interacting with the natural world. And I think that, you know, if you're an adversary trying to squeeze money out of something versus if you are an ally trying to create mutual benefit, those are very different ways to look at the landscape.
Indeed. Again, that's not to say that the plantations didn't play an important role in building the community that we have here today. You know, if you look, you know, I don't know what it would be, 70 to 80% of our community has ties to the plantation days. And, you know, they were brought here literally to work on the plantation and have kind of continued to build our community in its kind of new trajectory as it is now. So, but that said, the plantations did have a very different approach to and perspective of on water than the traditional Hawaiian communities did.
Yeah, they had different values.
Yep.
And they had different goals.
Yeah, I think the important thing is that and for today's conversation and our conversations going forward, is that we're in a new era, right? There was the Hawaiian era. They did things at a very large scale. They had a very kind of rigid life view of the value of water and what it was for. Plantations had its time in the sun, so to speak. It's the plantations are gone, and there's an opportunity to rethink and rebuild our community based upon new laws or
old laws
or old laws, right? And new values
or old values,
and new goals and what's the equivalent of new goals?
Right? Well, you keep saying new. You keep saying new, but every time you say that, I think, well, actually, you know, what's new is that we are there seems to be a shift in our consciousness where we are returning to some of the old values that served us so well for thousands of years.
Indeed, you know, it's it's not to say that we're going backwards, though. I'm always reminded of Jerry Santos in one of the most Olomana song, Kuhomeo Kahalu, where he sings, change is a strange thing. It cannot be denied. It's important to remember that you can't stop things. We can't go back. You know, time is a forward trajectory. So change is happening. That our island changes, our community changes. So the question is, how do we direct it in a way that maximizes the benefit for our community and the environment that we live in?
Yeah, well, you can't change what happened, but you can learn lessons from it.
And we can't go back, but we can direct the way that change is happening to move us to where we want to go in the future.
Yeah. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Out of the Box here on Kauai Community Radio, and want to welcome the listeners from Japan and Seattle and Alameda, California, and around the world. We're broadcasting to you from the center of the Pacific, to be specific, but it's really all just one world that we're sitting on. So season's greetings to you. And this afternoon, we're talking about water, the history of water as wealth. Maybe you can explain to the listener the Hawaiian words for water and for wealth and how they relate.
I'm probably not the best person to be doing it, but I've worked in the field and around those people who do have a better understanding, so at least I can kind of repeat what I've learned from my teachers.
That's my secret.
Yeah, that's my secret.
I'm not actually smart, but I try and hang out with smart people.
I'm a mediocre student, right, so I can just kind of repeat my homework. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Hawaiian term for water is wai, W-A-I, and you'll see that word in a lot of place names, kalihi wai.
Wailua, Waimea.
Yeah, exactly. Again and again and again. Waipa.
Waipa.
Waioli.
Waialeale.
Exactly. Again and again and again.
Vai.
And that's to be expected because we are replete with water. We are absolutely blessed with water here on Kauai in particular.
I think we're each like 70% water.
That's right. Yeah, more than that. Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
Well, if your bladder's full.
And that the recognition of
so that's for the water. The word for water is vai.
Is vai.
Okay.
Yep.
So what is vai vai?
Vai vai is lots of water, and it also means it's the term for wealth essentially.
And how do you understand that connection? How do you break that down, or how do you make that linkage?
That they, you know, people who made their living feeding their families off the land every day, you can have the understood that you could have the most, you know, fertile, productive land in the world, and which we don't here, right? but that's a whole other show. But if you had access to land and it was relatively fertile and ready to go, you still can't grow anything and feed yourself without water. So water, rather than the land, was the most important thing. And that became incorporated into the culture, the language, laws, kanavai.
Yeah, kanavai
is the word for law.
Right,
rules,
so
right?
The water rules.
It became expanded to mean any, you know, rules in general, right? The concept of kanavai, yep. So the language and the culture grew to reflect the understanding of the importance of water to the community.
So as I've been here the last dozen years or so and learned more about Hawaiian culture and the history and the, you know, the values and some of the language, pick up a couple dozen words here and there, it's just really so exciting to me because I only speak a couple languages, English, Spanish, and a smattering of other European tongues, but I've never come across a language that is so poetic, so abstract, so beautiful, and so many-faceted in the meanings and the values and the ideas and what's important. All those things in the culture get bundled up into the language, and as I'm beginning to explore the language and sort of unpack bits and pieces of it, it's just so it's so astonishing. It's so beautiful. I don't think it should be idealized. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't a perfect society. It wasn't, and it's not something that we can go back to, but we don't need to, because what we can do is learn from that and gain insight to the wisdoms that they were able to discover here on these islands. Because I think that geography shapes the people, shapes the place. And these places are so beautiful that unless you're trying really hard, you can't but have the place have some impact on you and change you. I've experienced that.
Yep, I would agree 100%. It's that understanding and embracing that recognition of the value of water to the community and making sure that it is equitably distributed to all members of the community and the system so that we thrive. That needs to be embraced and brought forward into kind of the way we operate now and the way we plan for our immediate and long-term future. And to me, that's the most important thing.
Do you want to go back and sort of start with what happened with the plantations and how they took control of the water resources across the islands? Or
I think you kind of summed it up, is that and I mentioned that it doesn't matter if you could acquire access to or fee simple title to all the land in Hawaii. If you didn't have water to put on the land, you weren't going to be able to produce a crop of anything, whether it's taro or sugar. Those areas that they couldn't get water to, they grew pineapple. Pineapple doesn't require the irrigation water that sugarcane does.
Yeah, but it seemed to thrive with a lot of DDT.
Yeah, it did require other things. Not water, but other things. But yeah, water, the plantations, like the Hawaiians, recognize the value of water. And so, that's what I want to emphasize, is that we've lost what both the Hawaiian community and the plantation community understood and lived by. They lived by the value of and necessity of water. And we have delegated that to a few people in our society, our government, both county and state governments, and hope that they deliver what we need in a way that they believe that it should be used. And to me, this is really important. Rather than kind of a traditional community perspective of our water needs and how it should be distributed, those decisions are in the hands of a few now.
Well, I guess the thing that I think is valuable to make clear for the listener to understand a little better is that as there were these titanic struggles in the late 1800s, and as the sugar plantations managed to sort of get their hands on most every last drop of water on the islands and use it to make sugar and turn that into money, as their quests to open up markets, particularly the American market, because in the Civil War in the 1860s, the North was boycotting sugar from the South, and the plantations that, there was a couple dozen plantations growing sugar on the islands in the 1850s, but when the northern states suddenly were looking for new sugar markets, boom, that's when the plantations really exploded here. And by the 1870s and 1880s, you had, almost 100 plantations, and the scale of operation was vast. And as those commercial interests grew, so too did their conflict with the Hawaiian kingdom grow, because the large corporations, the large sugar industry, didn't really want to be taxed by the Hawaiian kingdom, didn't really want to have, didn't want to submit to the authority of the sovereign Hawaiian state. And so they first tried to impose a bayonet constitution, and then 15, 20 years later, when the Hawaiian state began pushing back, that's when they locked up the queen and called in the U.S. Marines, and eventually, by joint resolution of the House and Senate, the U.S. legislative bodies agreed with each other that Hawaii was now an American possession. So the history of water is of great import to these islands, because it really was sugar that killed the kingdom. And as we came into the 20th century, you had an increased scale of industrialization and an increased scope of sugar plantation growing. But then somewhere in the 1950s, the economics changed and sugar wasn't really grown here anymore. Can you explain that? Because I don't really understand. Why did sugar fade away in the islands?
For the same reasons that it boomed, right? And that it all has to do with import export tariffs and taxes, right? There wasn't a viable market for selling sugar to the United States before the reciprocity treaty and the Civil War. So yeah. they had to have that
market.
The market was there.
Oh, they needed access to the market.
They needed special treatment.
Right.
They needed special treatment from the United States. And they got that.
In exchange for Pearl Harbor.
Pearl Harbor, basically, yeah. They needed that special treatment, and they got it for 150 years. And when the special treatment was taken away, it was no longer viable business.
I mean, they still grow sugarcane elsewhere in the world. I know Brazil has a big sugarcane industry, but most of the sweets in the U.S. for candy bars and soft drinks and milkshakes or whatever, spaghetti, I mean, they put sugar in everything these days. That's all GMO corn now, yeah. High fructose.
Corns and GMO and beets, fodder, GMO beets too.
Yep.
Yes, it is. Yeah. So the crops have, and it's because the special treatment has shifted, right? We give special treatment to corn and sugar beet industries rather than sugar cane industries now.
Hmm.
Yep. So yeah, it's who the government, who the lobbyists favor, and the government favors. So the Hawaii sugar plantations fell out of favor and no longer got that special treatment. And without that special treatment, we can't compete with other foreign producers.
Like in the Philippines, or I don't know where sugar else is made.
Central America, Caribbean, South America. Hmm. Yeah, mostly South America now.
So as the sugar cane faded and they began letting fields lie fallow, they tried to figure out the sort of legacy corporations from the sugar plantation industry. They moved into other fields, and with the water that they still had the rights to, they still controlled, they started growing other things.
Yeah, in some instances, the water did go back. And we have, let's see, Makalea Stream that comes out of Makalea Mountain. People are familiar with the east side of Kauai and the Kapahi area. You go up to the end of Kahuna Road, you can drive right to the base of the Makalea Mountains. There was a massive diversion just mouth of the water tank that took Makalea stream water all the way over to Kealia. You could push it all the way into reservoirs almost to Anahola.
Hmm.
As soon as the plantation shut down, they no longer maintained that diversion, and as water does, it pushed that diversion downstream, and the stream flows as it did, 300 years ago.
Yeah, water finds a way.
Water finds a way, yeah. In other irrigation systems, they were quick to orchestrate a handoff from the plantation to other entities to maintain and make sure that irrigation water continued to flow. Not because there was a need for it, but they recognized that they could find a need for it if they could bank it long enough.
Right.
That's basically what happened.
Right. Now, the original leases and the permits that the sugar companies were granted by the Hawaiian Kingdom, those all had to do with their agricultural use.
And continue to do so. You have to demonstrate the need for the water. In some cases, quite detail, you have to demonstrate the amount of gallons per acre that particular crop is known to require, and you divert that much and not any more. And under the water code in the Constitution, water remains in the stream unless you demonstrate a need for it and ask for permission and are granted permission from the Commission on Water Resource Management, who's the trustee for that public resource.
Okay, so forgive me, but that's what's supposed to happen.
That's what's supposed to happen.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Right.
But that isn't how it always is.
No, so what... So
that
what,
isn't even how it mostly is.
No, it's not. And that's because there's hundreds or thousands of streams in Hawaii, and to to attempt to regulate all those individually and piecemeal. Just, you know, that would take a whole nother giant government body and thousands of employees. So when the Water Code was established after the new constitution in Hawaii, and that the Water Code was established in 1987 or 1988, they basically said, okay, these are the new rules, but right now, as of 1988, whatever is happening in all streams is the status quo. So that you can do whatever is happening right now.
But that was 1987, so that's like, what is that? One, two, that's 30 years ago.
30 years ago, right. So if the sugar...
And how much has the state gone into the backlog of streams and diversions and tunnels and ditches?
Nothing.
And flumes and siphons,
yeah.
And...
Nothing on their own initiative. It's all driven by people complaining or requesting that they do something. So basically, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the attention in the system. And again, that's just because the state doesn't have... you know, the human capacity, you know, to do what it's supposed to do under the Constitution and the Water Code. So basically, they're directed by complaints or requests.
I know that water has been in the news in the last couple of years. There was a case, and I'm not sure what its status is right now, about Kauai Springs. They were diverting or taking water out of a diversion somewhere, bottling it and selling it, and some folks said, hey, you know what? You can't do that. Maybe you could explain a little bit better about that.
Yeah, that's not, I'm not fully kind of articulate on that particular case. But it did go to the Supreme Court, and I think the state Supreme Court ruling has implications on not only that particular water use.
Yeah,
but all water uses. And so basically what they said is that it's not illegal to take to tap into a spring and bottle water and sell it commercially. In fact, the state water code encourages commercial use. That's one of the legitimate uses. No question.
But you
can't do it without first demonstrating that nobody else needs the water, when you take that water, you're not impacting wildlife, Native Hawaiian rights, downstream users, and so forth.
Okay, so you can do that, but you're last in line.
At first, okay. you have to ask permission, and any government agency who grants permission to engage in that commercial activity must also bear the burden of protecting other resources and public trusts. So that's where the county got involved. The county determined that they could not grant that commercial permit
without having some negative impacts on other users,
without the applicant demonstrating
that.
So that's where it comes. So it's not that you can't use water for that purpose. It's just that you're last in line and you must demonstrate
proactively
that you're not impacting other trust resources.
So I know also Aqua Engineers recently got some sort of contract to do surface water treatment and sell that back to the county of Kauai. And I know that some of the waters from the headlands of the Wailua watershed are being diverted to the south to feed the Puhi shopping center and housing developments. And those aren't agricultural uses.
No, so that kind of, you know, ties in a couple of threads that we've been talking about, in that, you know, there was the Hawaiian era where they did, you know, arguably in some watersheds or ahupua, they did as much or more diversion of water than the plantation systems. Then we had the plantation systems.
And that was 100% food.
That was 100% food.
They were making so much food that... I think you explained to me they weren't just feeding all the families on the island. They were even feeding some of the fish in the fish ponds to make the fish fat to eat. So I mean that's like food times 10 or something.
Yeah, giant, you know, an unimaginable production, you know, compared to other kind of indigenous Pacific societies. So yes, we were fat city during that era. And as was the plantation. The plantation generated enormous amounts of wealth by diverting all that water to all that that available land. But anyway, all that has changed. We're in a new era. And we should look at the values and production of those two previous eras and figure out how we go forward. But what's happened is that in that transition, we certain systems were simply kind of held in suspense, right? And some of the east side diversions, like the ones off the North Fork of the Wailua, and in fact, all the streams from the North Fork south to Hulia, continue to be diverted. They're all historic plantation diversions, and they're diverted to a private system, and that private system then sells the water to various buyers. And one of those buyers are us. They sell it back to the citizens of the county.
So does that seem weird?
Again, so it goes under...
I mean, you know, forgive me because I'm a very simple person, but it sounds like they're selling our water to us.
Indeed, yes. Yeah. So they would argue, oh, but we've applied chemicals to it and it's now drinkable. So therefore, it's worth more than it was, and you're going to pay for that. Similar to the Kauai Springs situation, it's a legal act under the water code. You can engage in commercial selling of public water, but
it's always a big but.
But as the Supreme Court said, yes, you can do that, but you first must demonstrate, right, that you're not impacting everything else because you're last in line. So
let's talk about the people who are first in line and the uses that are prioritized and given.
Well, first, let's finish this train of thought.
My bad.
Because what's happening is that it has been a private commercial operation. It was Grove Farm who built that water treatment plant and has been selling it back to the county. My understanding is that the county is going to acquire that if they haven't already. And it will become a county facility, probably still operated by Aqua Engineers, but it will now be ours. So we will essentially have. Yet there still has been no demonstration that taking that water for that use has not impacted another public trust resource or wildlife and so forth.
And it's not enough for the OPHE to fail to file a complaint and do the proper paperwork. It's not enough, you know, you just can't say, well, the OPHE aren't complaining.
That's right, yeah.
Well, nobody in the Mulivai is splashing and complaining.
No, it's not a matter. It is incumbent upon the group or person or entity requesting the use of the water.
It's their responsibility.
And we have this very clear recent example in the Kauai Springs. The Supreme Court says, no, if you want to use the water for a commercial purpose, first you demonstrate that it's okay, right? And we have not done that.
So why is that not happening? And more importantly, perhaps, how can we make it happen? Because it doesn't, you know, I suppose in some ways it doesn't really matter, like, what went wrong or who didn't do what. Because honestly, here we are today, can't change the past. But let's get it right now. Let's move forward now in a Pono way.
It is very critical because as you well know, if you follow any of the planning activities on Kauai, the bulk of the commercial and residential urban development is in and around Lihue, which is the exact area that is struggling with water and is the area that surface water treatment plant was built to service because there is insufficient available groundwater. So that's why they went to that using stream water.
And it's insufficient available groundwater.
That's correct.
To support the population of people who want to live there. So we can flush our toilets.
That's right.
And wash our cars.
Yeah.
And water
so,
the lawn and
yeah,
wash
so,
our dishes and clothes and take showers and
yeah,
baths.
Yeah, there was stuff. Insufficient water to support the development that was there 10 years ago. And we're undergoing this planning. We have undergone the planning to identify that is the area we're going to increase development. So clear, if there wasn't enough water 10 years ago, there's clearly not enough water to support it 10 years from now or 20 years from now.
If we adhere to the same model of drawing water out of the ground or grabbing water from elsewhere on the island and bringing it there.
Yes. So so what we've done is we've put the cart before the horse. We said, this is where we're going to focus all development. Oh, yeah, and don't worry about the water. We're going to go bring it in from wherever it needs to be brought in from. That's the way the plantation operated. So we haven't broke out of that plantation mentality, right? We're going, this is where we want to grow sugar. This is where we want to grow commercial and urban development, and we're just going to go find the water. And that's the current situation that we're in. And identical to the plantation activities, we as a community have not taken a little bit of time to ask the source of the water that we're going to use for this development, what impact will it have on in-stream resources like fish? What impact will it have on other downstream users? And is it okay to take the amount of water that we're talking about? We haven't done that.
Well, I hear what you're saying, and that makes sense, but it already has been the case all along that
Indeed.
These diversions have been ongoing, and the water that should be in the stream already isn't there.
That's right.
So we don't have to wonder, like, well, what will be the consequences of that? We can go look, and you can see that the biodiversity is down, that all kinds of species have incredible stress on them, that the brackish waters that should be where the stream flows into the sea or into the lagoon, they're not being flushed with fresh water. The reefs are getting choked with sediment. There's a massive degradation in the health and vitality of the natural environment. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to see that.
Yes, in fact, and that's part of the counter argument is that they're saying, well, we're not proposing to take water out of the stream.
No, we're proposing to keep doing
to keep doing it, right?
Yeah.
And we're just gonna, it's similar to the argument. Well, you know, we didn't steal the car. Somebody stole your car, you know, 150 years ago. We're just gonna sell you a hubcap from the car that we acquired, the stolen car that we acquired.
That's yours.
Yeah, that's yours. Yes. No, I didn't steal your car.
That
right?
wasn't me.
It is the hubcap from your car. It wasn't me.
Right.
I'm gonna sell the hubcap.
That'll
back
be
to you.
$29.95.
That's exactly what's happening. Right. That's exactly what's happening.
So what are solutions to move forward from that?
We have a great opportunity right now in that there's always a series of planning actions going on. And Kauai right now is undergoing its water resource and development plan that is required under state law. All the counties are required to come up with periodically, every 20 years or so, to come up with renew their water resource and development plan. Kauai is undergoing that right now. They just had a series of their first series of public meetings, and gosh, a month or two ago.
And how were they well attended?
No, they were not well attended.
No.
They were unfortunately very poorly attended. And I don't believe there are any other public meetings scheduled until they finish writing the plan and come out with that plan. And then you'll have one chance, at least the way it is scheduled. They're going to present the plan. You'll have one more opportunity for input, and then they take it to the county council, and they approve it, then it goes to the state.
So then, you know, Ross Kagawa and
that's right.
Errol
yeah.
Kaneshiro, they're going to take a look at it and bring their mana'o to it and
yep.
make it all good.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, at this point, there is no, like, additional meeting scheduled or whatever. So, you know, if you go to the and again, to their credit, the water department has done a phenomenal job of putting together information. They have their slideshow still available on their website. You can download.
And what is that?
What is their website?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
But I mean, like, can you just type in
yeah.
Department of Water,
Department
Kauai?
Of Water. Yep.
And, okay.
And Water Resource Development Plan. It'll take you right there. So,
okay.
So they've done a really good job at making the information available. And I think they did a good job at trying to hold those public meetings. It's just that.
And these were in November?
I believe that they were in November.
Okay, cool. Because I didn't go to the meeting.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't here,
so I have an excuse.
Yeah.
But because I wasn't there, I have a question.
Yep.
Did they talk at all about water catchment, domestic water catchment? Because they do that huge on Big Island.
Yep. Not so much in the meetings, but in the plan, they do talk about kind of hierarchical use of water, right? And that and water conservation methods. So it is part of the plan. It's identified, but I don't think it was really discussed at the meetings very much.
Hmm. The reason why I ask is because about a year ago I went to a water catchment workshop.
Yep.
And I was really blown away because it wasn't like hippies trying to live off the land by recycling Dixie cups from their gutter. It was these very sophisticated, industrial scale, like grid scale water catchment systems. And it kind of blew me away because even if you're in a part of the, part of the world or part of the island here where you're only getting like 30, 40, 50, 60 inches of rain per year, if you have like a Costco, for example, and in the same way that they, covered their roof with solar panels, they could also cover their roof with a water catchment system. And then, it's just, you just do the math. If you want this many gallons of water, you need this much area of catchment and you need this much volume of storage. And son of a gun, it's like a billion dollar answer to the development bottlenecks on the island, because if the residential designers just reconfigured their housing development plans such that each house was sufficient unto itself in its own water catchment, or if they build neighborhood size water catchment systems, they could go right ahead with the Lihue plan and there'd be choke water for everybody.
In fact, state law technically requires us to consider that before taking water out of the streams to use as we're doing right now. So depending upon what plan it is, we're going to need between 10 and 20 million gallons per day for the build-out in Lihue. That's basically the entire base flows of the North Fork and South Fork of the Wailua River. We're going to take all the water out of the Wailua River just to feed development in Lihue. So let's say that we had full build-out of rain catchment and we reduced that demand by half, right?
Well, actually, I think that you with a vigorous or aggressive water catchment program here on the island, you could take care of all your water needs, and you could return the natural rain flows to the streams and rivers and the mulivai and the land itself.
Which is what the law requires.
So
is that if you have a viable alternative, water needs to remain in the stream. That's the law.
Hmm. All right. Well, in a future show, I'll bring somebody in from ARCSA, the American Rainwater Catchment System. Oh, wait, I already did that.
Oh,
I'll bring him back and we'll talk about this specifically. But what else can we do to move forward? Because here at Kauai Community Radio, and particularly for this show, Out of the Box, I don't want to try and bring things to people's attention or into discussion just to be entertaining. I mean, that's, I get to crack a joke every now and then, and that's kind of fun for me personally. But I'm trying to give people actionable information that they can use to make good choices by and to make changes in the standard operating procedure of how we do things. Because if we just all started working together and got a little bit smarter about stuff, there'd be something for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's important if everyone could first recognize that it's not just important that, when you turn on the tap, water flows, and when you flush the toilet, the bowl refills. That's important day-to-day usage, and blessed the water department that, they deliver that service.
Yeah, but I mean,
That's not enough, right? We need to understand that in many places on the island, that water was taken from a place and from people without asking, without consideration for what impact that taking had. And so all of us bear the burden every time we use water to make sure that that question gets asked and it gets addressed. And we need to demand that because, that's the society we want to live in, is that don't give me whatever I want at any cost. Make sure that we do it in a balanced, fair way. Right? And right now we're not doing that. So just demand fairness and balance.
So if you're just tuning in, I'm speaking with Adam Ask, with a taro farmer from the east side of Kauai. Taro being one of the prime food staples that the Polynesian diet was built on.
And it protected public trust under the state water code.
But before we wrap up with this segment about water, I really appreciate what you just said. And I would like to give you an opportunity to go through a list of the specific kind of things that come first in the water, because we've been talking kind of backwards into this the whole time. But so if it's not commercial use that comes first, if it's not furthering residential development or commercial development that comes first, just so that people can get a picture in their head of where the real priorities and values lie, try and walk through some of the most important things that water is for.
Well, there is under the state law there are protected public trust uses of the water, right? So it's all uses are not equal.
Yeah.
Some uses are more important.
Already established by law. No need to argue or debate about it. We already agreed.
Right.
What are those?
And some of those are in-stream uses, aesthetics, right? If you took all the water out of a stream so that a waterfall dried up and you could no longer...
Not as pretty,
right? Yeah. That's a protected public trust. The water has to keep going over the waterfall.
Okay.
Fish in the stream. You can't dry up a stream so that fish can no longer live. There's no water for the fish to live. You can't do that. That's a protected public trust.
What else?
Native Hawaiian gathering rights. Native Hawaiians have protected rights to gather fish, limu, shellfish in those waters. So again, you can't reduce the flow or take all the flow so that it would reduce or eliminate those Native Hawaiian gathering rights.
But it's probably not just the fish and like amphibians and other mollusks and whatnot, plants and trees.
Cultural values. Why Aliali? There's this whole connection from the top of the mountain. There's a heiau. There's a pool. There Hawaiians dug an awai from the top of the summit to come over the side of the mountain. So there's a spiritual and religious aspect that is protected under that public trust also. And kala or taro. Taro lands itself, taro production is a protected public trust. Those are at least the ones that come to mind. So those have higher priority than other uses.
So food,
yep.
Beauty, life, culture, and spiritual practices.
Yep, how about that?
Well, I really appreciate you articulating those things. It's always a pleasure to have you in the studio. Adam Asquith, is there any kind of closing thoughts that you have?
Just want to wish everybody happy holidays. And going forward, just all of us are blessed to have the opportunity to live on Kauai. And we should carry forward the values of those people that came before us and recognition of the value of water. And the balance that it requires is one that we should embrace and live by every day. So again, demand that water is balanced as it's delivered to your house for your use. How's that?
That sounds awesome.
All right.
That's why I invited you to be on the guests of the show today.
Well, thank you very much, Jonathan.
Well, it's just after 5, and we're going to take a quick musical break. I will come back with Ni'i's and What's for Dinner. Very excited for that. We're going to do some station ID and thank the underwriters and people like you who help make us thrive. Let's see. Got to do this. All these buttons here. So exciting. All right. This is a good button.
KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, K224CQ Anahola, K284AL Haleiwa.
That's legally required by the Federal Communications Commission. And then, of course, there's this.
Aloha, this is Mayor Bernard Cavalio, and you are listening to Kauai's one and only community radio station. Listener-supported KKCR, Kauai Community Radio. Aloha.
I love his enthusiasm. And what else? This is good, too. Good to remind you, because, you know, we can't bring every voice to the airwaves, but we can bring yours.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, board, volunteers, or underwriters.
So thanks so much for tuning in to Kauai Community Radio this afternoon. I'm Jonathan. This is Out of the Box. We've got to thank these underwriters here, Hawaii Life, the Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care. But then coming up in a couple minutes, we're going to have What's for Dinner with Nihi.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Let's go like this.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO Free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Kevin Bako, MD of Hawaii Compassionate Care, offers medical marijuana certification exams at his office in Kapa'a. Information and appointments available at 808-854-6335 or online at HawaiiCompassionateCare.com.
And big mahalo to Hawaii Life, the Tahiti Nui, and Compassionate Care. It's underwriters like those fine folks in conjunction with people just like you to help KKCR not only survive, but thrive. Coming up in just a minute, What's for Dinner with Nihi. Are you stoked?
Yeah.
Awesome. Audio. Nihi. It's all you. So, What's for Dinner? Now, What's for Dinner? This is a show idea that you and I worked out over the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Because, you know, as I got to know you a little bit better, you know, you told me that one of your favorite, your most favorite things of all was dinner time. And what was for dinner?
Yep.
And so, you know, other people don't know you as well as I do. I know you a tiny bit. But if you were to introduce yourself to somebody, what would you tell them about yourself?
I'm blind. I was born blind, and I live in Kapa'a on Kauai.
And let's see, you've been here all your life, born and raised on Hawaii.
Yep.
You have a twin brother.
Yes.
And you're older, yeah?
Yep.
By how much?
We're both twins, so...
Yeah, but you're like a couple minutes older, yeah?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
Me too.
If I had a twin brother, sister, I don't know if I would lord it over them, but it's nice to know in the back of your head, like, well, you know, I'm the older one. That's kind of cool. But you have, that's Sean, yeah?
Yep.
Then you got another younger sister, Hannah.
Yeah.
And what do you guys like to do?
What are
some of your favorite things to do?
Well, we like to wrestle at home. I wrestle with Hannah.
Is she pretty? She pretty tough.
Yeah.
That's kind of fun.
I know.
And then, what about Shawnee? What do you guys like to do?
Well,
you like to wrestle too?
A little bit. Not as much as me and Hannah.
Is she ticklish? A little
yeah.
bit? Are you ticklish?
Sometimes.
Well, one of the things that is so exciting to me, and I think to everybody who's listening, is dinner time. You know, dinner time, it's got to be one of the best meals of the day because you've been out all day working, or you've been playing, or you've been going to school, and maybe you've finished some of your homework or done your chores, but, you know... Dinner time's getting close, and how do you know dinner time's getting close at your house?
I can smell the food cooking.
Yeah, yeah. And what are the smells that you like? What are the pictures that form in your mind as you sense what's for dinner? Can you figure out what's for dinner before anybody tells you?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We're having grilled cheese sandwiches, salad, and pumpkin bisque.
Pumpkin bisque, what's that?
It's a soup that my mom puts pumpkin, ginger, and other spices.
Wow. That sounds good.
Yeah.
And that's what you're having for dinner tonight?
Yep.
Oh, wow. That's great. What are some of your favorite dinners?
Lasagna and pasta.
What do you like about those?
I like about lasagna. It comes in big chunks and it has lots of meat on it.
Yeah. And like what kind of flavors do you like in terms of spices? And...
Oh, I like onions.
Yeah?
Yep.
And you like the sweet onions, like the Maui sweet onions? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Those are good?
Oh, yeah.
You like them sautéed?
Yep.
You like them diced and minced in salad?
Yeah, I love that in salad.
Do you like it when it's chopped up and in lomi lomi salmon?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the show here, What's for Dinner, it's kind of a fun thing because we get to talk about what's for dinner.
Yeah.
But we also want to let the listener know that they can call in to 82. Well, tell them the number.
The number is 826-7771.
And if you want to call in, you can. Or did you bring your laptop with you?
Ah, oh, shucks.
Okay. Well, you can send email to us at the station. That's dj@kkcr.org.
Okay.
And we're going to keep going through some what of Nihi's favorite dinners are. But if any of this makes your mouth start watering and makes you hungrier, or if you're at home right now and you're getting ready to make dinner because it's 5:15 here.
Oh.
Yeah, and dinner?
Hannah's at home.
Yeah, is she helping make dinner tonight?
Sometimes. Yes.
Oh, she is?
My mom said they're going to listen in.
Oh, that's cool. You can say hi to them.
Oh, yay. Okay.
Hi. So, and I talked to you last week. You said that you really love spaghetti, especially meat sauce.
Oh, yeah.
And you mentioned some of your favorite foods are Kahlua pork.
Oh, yeah.
Lomi Lomi salmon, mm-hmm. salmon.
Yeah.
Teriyaki chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And if any of these sound good to you, listener, give us a call here, 826-7771. We'll put you on. You can talk to Nihi, or you can tell us some of your favorite recipes or what you're having for dinner tonight. And if it sounds good to Nihi, if it sounds like better than pumpkin soup, and what was the other one, macaroni and cheese?
No.
Oh.
Grilled cheese.
Oh, grilled cheese.
Sorry.
No, that's my that was my fault.
Grilled cheese sandwiches on fresh bread.
Oh, fresh bread. Who baked the bread?
Well, we just got a new bread machine for home.
That is awesome.
I know.
We had a bread machine, and I don't know what happened. My housemates, they were making lots of bread for a while, but then it fell out of the pattern of things.
Uh-oh.
Which is too bad, because really, fresh bread is really delicious.
I know.
You can, like, take it and mop up the gravy and stuff. God, I love that. So, lau lau is also something you like.
Oh, yeah.
What is it about lau lau that you like?
I like the meat and the taro and the leek.
Yeah?
And, you know, the pork fat in it? Oh, my gosh.
That's where the flavor is.
Oh, my God, yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love that.
I really do, too. I love all kinds of different foods. I have some friends who are vegetarians.
What?
I don't think they would like pork lau lau. I know, right? They're kind of missing out. But they could make lau lau out of barbecued tempeh.
What?
That'd be pretty good.
What's tempeh?
Tempeh is kind of like, you know, soybeans?
Oh, yeah.
To make tofu out of?
Mm-hmm.
Well, instead of taking the tofu or the soybean and, like, grinding it and making it into the paste that becomes tofu,
yeah,
you leave the beans whole and you kind of compress them and soak them and you let them, then let them turn into, like, a mat, like yogurt. Like, I think that's what it is. I think it's like a mold. It gets inoculated and it turns into, like, a beautiful meaty cake of fermented soybeans. So if I got that wrong, perhaps this caller who's just calling in right now at 826-7771 will set me straight. So hold on just a second, caller. Get the phone right here.
Who's the caller?
We're going to find out. We're going to find out right now. Let's see. Answer. On air. Aloha, caller. Thanks for joining us. Can you hear us, caller?
I can't hear it in my headphones.
No, that's because I put the wrong button on. How about now? Can you hear us now, caller?
Hello.
Hey, there we go.
So are we talking about what we're eating for dinner?
We are. Mm-hmm. Where are you calling from, caller?
Aloha,
Nihi. Hi.
Where are you calling from, caller?
Wailua.
Wailua. Awesome.
Do you know who this is, Nihi?
Auntie Lois.
Yeah. Okay, Christmas Eve. What do you think we're having for dinner?
I'm having grilled cheese sandwiches on fresh bread.
Yum. Your mom made bread, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, we're having ham.
Okay.
And potatoes. Some of it's scallops. Some of it is what they call Johnson's Delight. Uncle Carl made it.
Ooh.
It has anchovies in it. It's really good.
That sounds really good.
I know.
And then we have, remember for Thanksgiving, we had the broccoli dish that Auntie Lonnie made? We're having that, too.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds really good.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Do you have enough for us if we can come over tonight?
Yeah, I think so. But you have to bring some wine, yeah?
That sounds reasonable.
So, favorite foods, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, favorite. What are some of your favorite foods?
Mexican food. I love Mexican food.
Do you like Mexican food, Nihi?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like tacos?
Yes, do you?
Yeah.
Do you like
soft tacos or the crunchy kind?
I like crunch.
Oh, my gosh. I like both of them.
Yeah, I do, too.
I'm a crunch fiend. Unless they're fish tacos, then, yeah, they can be soft and they're okay.
You know, I went out for tacos a couple nights ago at this little place in Kampa'a. It was fantastic.
Where'd you go?
I think it was Paco's Tacos. It used to be, like, a food van, and then they turned into a restaurant.
Used to be what?
I think they used to be like a taco van.
Food truck.
Yeah, a food truck. But yeah, they have a little place next to the Bank of Hawaii. Banco.
Yeah, yo, that used to be the place where the best hamburgers were made on island. They were so good there.
So Ono, Yeah, but and the food is still there. I was there a couple nights ago. It was so good. It was like, wow. It's like a real hole in the wall, too, you know?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a big fan of Monaco's, sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too. I mean...
Hey, we ate them for my dad's birthday.
You did? What did you have?
A garlic shrimp quesadilla.
Oh, they're so good. Neat. That's the bomb.
I love that.
Yeah.
I bet.
What did your dad have?
Huh?
What did your dad have?
Put the headphones on.
All right.
There you go. Now talking to the mic.
Okay.
There you go. Find out to a little bit to your left. There you go.
What did your dad have?
He had a taco.
What kind of tacos?
Veggie. A vegetable taco.
What?
With...
He had a veggie taco?
Well, he had a fish taco, I mean, so...
Okay, that makes more sense. That sounds about right. What'd your mom have?
Do you remember?
No.
Oh. Well,
sorry.
Shrimp quesadilla, though, those are the bomb.
Yeah.
We're really blessed to have so many different food traditions here on the island, and it didn't used to be this way even a short time ago, but now there's, you know, several tasty Mexican restaurants.
Yes.
So, and, you know, it's like cuisine from all over the whole Pacific Ocean. You got the California cuisine, you got Mexican food, you got Japanese food and Chinese food and Filipino food, and it's like this is like the food capital of Earth.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so good. I think now I want to make some pancette.
How is Astrid?
Astrid is good. She just got home.
I hear Finn.
Yeah, he's barking his little head off. Astrid brought with her some Lappert's ice cream.
Oh.
Oh!
So, yeah, not only dinner, but the dessert. So, thank you, caller. We got another caller standing
okay.
by.
All right, aloha.
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 Let's see.
Can we use the bathroom in a little bit?
We can. We can take a break. Is there another caller there?
I'm holding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on
yeah,
the air.
And if we're going to be during these last few minutes of the program, if we're going to be mentioning restaurants, there's always Chicken on the Barrel.
Oh, yeah, Chicken in a Barrel. You know what? It's pretty tasty.
But thank you very much so.
It's kind of false advertising, though, because where's the barrel?
The barrel is, I think, the barbecue pit is where it comes down to, in my opinion.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I stand corrected.
Okay. So... Anyhow, and any booze. I just wanted to mention that because when I heard of Paco's Tacos and this and that, and I'm going in tomorrow, Christmas Day.
Yeah.
They do annually a feed that doesn't cost you a dime.
Oh, that's really sweet. Do you like barbecue chicken, Nihi?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Okay, so I'm going to say hello. Aloha.
All right,
and
thank
you. Guys go out to the program.
All right, thank you, caller. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
So phone lines are open now again,
826-7771.
Oh, there you go. And the name of the show is...
What's for Dinner?
All right, so what are some more of your favorite things for dinner? What are some more of the things that you love the most? What about mashed potatoes? You like mashed potatoes or baked?
Mashed potatoes and baked.
That's always the best answer.
Yeah.
Let's see who this next caller is.
Oh, it might be Hannah.
I'm going to answer that.
Hopefully, I hope it's right on air. I hope it's Hannah.
Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to
What's for Dinner?
Yeah, I'm wondering what's for dinner. No, I'm not who you think I am. However, where is that free meal the previous guy said?
I think he said Chicken in the Barrel, and I think it's tomorrow, Christmas Day. And he didn't say which one. I think there's like a couple chickens in the barrels around the island.
It's all over island.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
So, yeah, coming to a barrel near you.
Keep it up, guys.
Okay.
All right, we got another call coming in. Thank you, caller.
Could Hannah call in?
I don't know.
Shucks.
We'll find out. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Thanks for calling in.
You got to turn it all the way off.
Yeah, turn down your radio.
How's that?
Sounds good. Are you ready?
Hi, Nene.
Hi, Sean.
Nene, guess who this is?
Uncle Jason?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
How are you?
I am good.
What's for dinner at your place tonight, Uncle Jason?
We just had poke and poi.
Oh, you already eat?
The first time.
Oh,
first dinner. So you already had first dinner. What time is second dinner?
Right, in about 10 minutes.
I love dinners.
How are you, Sean?
Good.
Where are you guys?
In Wailua, on a 6-year radio show.
Oh, yeah. See, in the magic of radio, Nihi, people can hear us all over the island and all over the world.
Yeah.
I'm stoked.
Yeah, there's people right now in Tucson, Arizona, and in Japan, and where else? And in Chicago Heights. Aloha. Aloha, Faso family in Chicago Heights. That's my new family.
Really?
Yeah, that's my fiance and her family are listening right now.
What's her name?
Her name is Joanna.
Joanna.
Yeah, she's beautiful, and I love her.
What are you guys doing in Wailua, Sean?
Oh, they're gone.
We're still here.
What do you so you just had first dinner and you're gonna have second dinner?
Yeah.
So what time are you gonna come home?
We just got through cleaning a goat.
Oh, you just cleaned a goat?
Yeah.
Oh.
The giveaway as a Christmas gift.
Yeah.
So I guess that goat is what's for dinner.
Aye. Yeah. Hey. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Okay. Bye.
So, all right, aloha folks. So we got people, like I say, listening around the world. If you're listening from France, you could send an email to dj@kkcr, and you can tell us what you're having for dinner. That would be exciting, right?
I should have brought my Breton note.
Let's see. What time is it in France? I think it's already tomorrow morning in France.
Oh, they're ahead?
Yeah, they're ahead.
Merry Christmas!
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Sorry for you, though, having a loud voice. Oh,
there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
The phone lines are open at
826-7771.
7771. We would love for you to call in and tell us what you're having for dinner, because the name of this show is...
What's for Dinner?
You got to tuned in right now to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you.
Is my dad still here?
I think he's driving home right now. And you know what?
What?
He said he has no radio in the truck, so he can't hear you right now.
What in the headphones?
I don't know. He's got to get that fixed, though.
Yeah. Well, he has my car.
Yeah.
My mom's car.
Yeah.
So can we go use the bathroom?
All right. So you want to play some music?
Yeah.
We can do that. All right. Let me pick some music here. Get some good music on. Let's see. How about we play Jack White?
Oh, yay.
How about you want to hear Jack White again?
Yeah. Thank you for letting me come.
Oh, it's exciting.
And then after I use the bathroom, could I have water?
You sure can.
Where can I put my orange? Because I don't want to smush it.
All right. Well, hey, folks. Check out this music while we kind of take care of some stuff over here. And we'll be right back in a few minutes with What's for Dinner on Kauai Community Radio.
Today's Christmas, right?
Today's Christmas tomorrow.
You came home too late.
So you've got to tune in to KKCR, Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. This is the special holiday edition of What's for Dinner. This is a kind of a show that we're trying out here, see how it works. The idea is it's almost dinner time, so if you're here, you're probably making dinner right now. And Nihi, the eighth grade girl, born and raised here on Kauai, and she just loves dinner. So we're sharing some with you some of her favorite foods, and we're inviting you to call in to the station and tell us what you're having for dinner. We'd love to know what's cooking. Give us a call at 826-7771. Love to get you on the air, and I'm sure everyone else would also want to know what you have for dinner, because if it sounds good, maybe we'll come over to your place. That Nihi picked out. She thought you would like the Jack Black, and then now we've got some Hapa. So phone lines are open, 826-7771, and Nihi will be back in a minute with What's for Dinner. Love to know what you've got cooking. For tuning in, I really appreciate that. Beautiful day of music today. Right now we're doing What's for Dinner, but coming up at 6 is going to be Dove with Evolve, and then after that will be Slim with the Mystery Train, and then the Commodore with Locomoco, and then, boy, hours and hours of Hawaiian music from our audio archive. So nothing but fantastic stuff that we're going to serve to you here. And the phone lines are open,
826-7771.
And we've got a caller right now.
Oh, yay.
Aloha, caller. Welcome to
What's for Dinner?
Hi.
Hello. What's for dinner?
I just wanted to let you know we're having pork chops and apples today.
Oh. How are you preparing them?
Slow cooked, braised on a frying pan.
Oh, yeah? How's that sound, E?
That sounds really good.
And you have listeners in Washington.
Yeah, I can see there's listeners all over the world. And where are you calling in from, caller?
Renton, Washington.
Hey, that's where my dad lives.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Hi.
Well, if you see him again, wish him a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Pops.
Yeah, Dad?
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. It's like I had to entice you on with food.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Well, it sounds like you guys are having a lot. What are you having with the pork chops?
I don't know yet.
Oh. Nihi.
Yeah.
What do you think they should have with pork chops? What would sound good to you?
Mashed potatoes and gravy, maybe?
Hey.
Yeah?
Yeah, and sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes. There
oh,
you go.
Great idea.
And you should try taro.
Yeah, can you get that in Seattle?
I'm sure we can.
All right. Well.
Oh, yay.
If you can't find it, we'll ship some to you.
Aloha.
Aloha. Uh-huh. And we got another caller.
Hello.
Aloha, caller. Thanks for calling in. Welcome to...
What's for Dinner?
Earlier to you about... chicken and a you-know-what.
Okay.
It's traditional with them. It's kind of like All Saints Church, or Episcopal Church in Gabon,
uh-huh.
By the Chevron Station.
You know where that is, Nihi?
Yeah. Wait, what? Where?
Tomorrow is chicken and a you-know-what.
Wait, what?
Okay.
Where is that going to be?
Chicken and a barrel is next to Gabon. Neighborhood center.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's Chicken and Barrels next to my home.
What time?
I'm listening.
Oh, what time is that going to be?
From 12 to when the food runs out.
All right, well, I there's a lot of chickens on Kauai, so probably you guys may never run out.
Oh, come catch our chickens because they're annoying.
Thanks for calling in, caller. We're going to go to the next caller.
Okay.
Perfect.
Could Hannah call in?
I don't know. We'll find out. Aloha, caller. Welcome to What's for Dinner?
Hi, Jonathan.
Hello. Who's this?
Hi, this is Joanna.
Oh, hey, Joanna. What are you guys having for dinner?
We had dinner a few hours ago because we're ahead of time, but we had yummy dinner. We had seafood lasagna.
Ooh.
Oh!
Yeah.
Where do you live, Joanna?
Right now I'm in Glenwood with my family.
Where?
In by Chicago.
Are you guys a day ahead?
We are. We're 4 hours ahead.
Oh, is it tomorrow already today?
No, it's 9:40 at night.
Oh.
So we had dinner. We had dinner a long time ago. That was good.
Is it still Christmas Eve there?
It is. It's still Christmas Eve. Only 9:40 at night.
Okay.
So soon I have to go to bed so Santa will come.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I wonder what Santa's having for dinner.
Yeah, what is Santa having for dinner? Getting ready? Well, he's already across the world.
Oh, that's right. He's been busy already for like hours.
Yeah. Hours and hours.
Huh.
Well,
he's gonna.
I heard your dad call, so I had to call and say hi.
Well, you know, I'll bet you Santa, with all this work he's doing right now, he's going to be powerfully hungry at the end of his day, which is a double day, right?
It is. It's long.
So I wonder what he'll have for dinner tonight.
What is it? Is the North Pole day ahead?
Yeah, right?
You know what? I think it's always now at the North Pole because they don't have time zones there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I think so because the sun never rises or sets. It's just now, always. Which I guess is why he has so much time to wrap up the presents and stuff.
Yeah, we've got a lot of elves, too, that help out.
That is awesome.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Have a great show, you guys.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
And I think the phones are open again. We've got another person calling in. Aloha, caller. Welcome to What's for Dinner. What's for dinner at your place?
Me. Get your hot lao lao. It's Uncle Mike. Merry Christmas.
Thank
we're
you.
We're going to probably have pasta with Alfredo sauce tonight.
I knew you would be calling.
How you doing?
I'm good.
All right.
Pasta with Alfredo sauce. What's your recipe?
A secret.
Oh, okay.
What?
Yeah, you know what? This is a brand new show, so we don't have rules yet, but I'm pretty sure if we have a rule, it could be you can't keep your recipe a secret on What's for Dinner. You got to share.
You know, lots of garlic, lots of Parmesan cheese, and a cream sauce.
Oh, that sounds good.
Okay, now.
Sounds good. You know, when you describe the recipe, it makes it even more tasty on the radio.
Yeah, it smells good.
One day I'll make it for you, Nihi.
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right, awesome. The phones are lighting up right now. So
all right. Everyone have a wonderful Christmas.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
Aloha. All right, we got another caller here.
This is
fun, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm loving this.
Oh, yeah, me too. Aloha, caller. Welcome to...
What's for dinner?
Hey, we're having coca bins.
Coca bins?
C-O-Q-A-U-B-I-N. Coca bins.
Ah, what is that? That's French, yeah?
Yes, it's chicken and it's in brandy and wine with pearl onions and carrots and mushrooms. It's fabulous. And creamed corn, spinach, kale salad, pupus of poke with avocado and soybeans and sushi. And for dessert, chocolate mousse pie with fresh bananas.
Oh!
Chocolate mousse pie. Wow.
Okay.
That sounds really good.
I'm getting hungry
now. Yeah, I'm getting so hungry.
Me too, Uncle Jonathan.
Wow.
Much love to you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Aloha.
And we have another caller. Hold on just a second.
Another?
Yeah, they're calling off the hook. Aloha, caller. Welcome to What's
for Dinner?
Oh, what a fabulous show. This is wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't catch the name of your co-host.
Nihi.
No, you're the host of the show.
Oh, right.
And what's your name? Hello?
My name is Nihi.
Is that your whole name?
Nihi Joe Asquith.
There we go.
Okay.
And tell her what grade are you in?
I'm in the 8th grade and I live in Kapa'a.
Well, it's wonderful. Thank you so much for being there. And I have a question for you. You may need help in cooking, but do you ever cook anything for dinner for yourself and your family?
Little bit.
I talked to you before, and you said you were excited that your mom was going to start teaching you how to cook more.
Yeah,
wonderful. I'm glad that your family is interested in teaching you how to cook, because I've noticed that there's a lot of people who do not know how to cook, and so they have to go out and buy their meals at restaurants and take out and things like that.
Which is nice to do sometimes.
Yeah, it's very handy. But I really appreciate having the time to make dinner for my family and for my family to make dinner for me sometimes. And to me, that's very important, to have loved ones making food for other loved ones.
What are you guys having for dinner at your place tonight?
Well, we're having baked macaroni and cheese. I make it myself. And what I like with that is homemade coleslaw.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
What's your coleslaw recipe?
Oh, it's fabulous. First of all, you have to have the right kind of chopper, because and a big wooden bowl to chop it with. So it comes out nice and fine, and it's easy to chew.
You don't use a knife, or do you use one of those choppers with like a curved blade and a wooden handle?
Yeah, it's like that.
Kind of like almost shaped like the old Kauai poi pounder, yeah?
Yeah, but it's got two blades on this thing. And
oh, multi-blade.
It just chops up really good. You got to be patient, but it's like meditation. you know, when you chop, 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 chop. It's like meditating, and you put all that love into your coleslaw. And then what I do is I spoon in some regular mayonnaise and prepared horseradish. That gives it a little zip. And I put in salt. Cabbage needs salt. Otherwise, it sort of falls on its face. It doesn't have much flavor. But if you put salt on cabbage, it's very flavorful.
Do you like coleslaw, Nihi?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You like crunchy?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very crunchy.
Well, we're having grilled cheese sandwiches on fresh baked bread and pumpkin bisque.
It sounds fabulous. And I just made 4 loaves of oatmeal bread this afternoon. It has molasses in it. And whole oats, and it's got some butter in it, and yeast, of course. So I can make 4 loaves at a time. I have a big oven, and I'm going to give them as Christmas presents tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Where do you guys live?
We live in Kapahi.
Hey!
Yeah, probably close by you.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm hoping this program is done again, and we can share our recipes and how we make things and where to buy some strange things that maybe recipes call for and we don't quite know where to get it, and that would be helpful.
Yeah, it could be a good idea because you know what? People got to eat.
Yes, indeed. So, okay, Nini, thank you for being on our wonderful KKCR Community Radio. This is what we're all about. Thank you, and Meli Kaliki Maka.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller.
Hello.
Oh, sorry there. Sorry, I cut you off. The phone is still ringing off the hook, Nihi. People want to tell you what they're having for dinner.
Oh!
Who knew this would be so wildly popular, huh? All right, let's see. Get the next caller here.
I'm having fun right now.
Well, that's kind of the whole idea.
Hello. I'm calling to tell you what my doggies just had for dinner.
Oh, wow.
At the Amber.
For my dog.
At the Amber.
Guess which dogs they are, Nihi?
Maka, Rico, and Diva?
That's right.
Oh, there I heard them.
Yeah.
Is that Maka?
And they just, oh, that's Maka. She just ran out the door barking at somebody.
Oh.
That's because she already had her dinner and she wants to go out and
she
play.
She had her dinner and now she's out barking, yes.
Can I come over?
Exercise. Yeah, you can come over pretty soon and visit them again. They would like that.
But can
but
I?
They had sweet potatoes for dinner.
Oh, wow. They eat good.
Sweet potatoes are mixed in with other vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower and carrots that are steamed. And then I kind of grind them in the food processor.
Are your dogs vegetarians?
No, we're getting to the other part.
Oh.
And then there's ground Kauai beef.
Ooh.
Oh!
Sauteed up and mix that together with the vegetables, and then I boiled some sweet potatoes and chopped them up and threw that in. So they had sweet potatoes, vegetables, and Kauai ground beef.
I'm glad you called in. Can you come?
Does that sound like a good dinner?
Yeah. Can you come pick me up on this Saturday?
I don't know. I can't think further than one day ahead.
All right. Well,
tomorrow.
We'll see. We'll check with your mom and dad, see if you guys can have a dinner date.
Oh!
Yeah, we'll have a dinner date, and I won't feed you dog food, Nihi.
Well, it sounds like
Thank
your dogs
you.
Eat pretty good.
But the dog food's pretty good.
It sounds pretty good.
I was with Dr. B on Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
And he's got good recipes.
He really does.
Who?
Dr. Basco. He does a show called Pets, People, and Paradise.
Yeah.
Does he have a dog?
He's got a dog named Hina.
What kind?
I don't know. She's kind of brown and small. I don't know what kind of dog that is. All right. Well,
okay.
You got callers standing by. Anything else, caller? All right. Aloha. Wow, Nihi, the callers just don't stop.
I know. Right?
Yeah. So let's see who this is. Aloha, caller. You're on the air. Welcome to...
What's for dinner?
Numerous times this what? Evening, and I just want to say fantastic program.
Yeah, it kind of makes you hungry, huh? Hungry for more.
Yeah.
That's
I'm
awesome.
I'm going to leave you alone now.
All right, thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Aloha.
I'm glad that Auntie Amber called in.
He got to talk into the mic, Nihi.
Oh.
There you go. You have your headphones on, yeah?
Yep.
What do you think of those headphones?
I love them.
Pretty good audio quality, huh?
Yeah.
So when you talk directly into the mic, you can hear your voice in your earphones, yeah?
Oh yeah, I can.
Yeah. See, whatever you can hear, that's what people at home and at the radio, that's what they can hear. And you know what?
What?
Everybody on the radio
is blind.
Is blind. That's right. Everybody. So
oh, wow.
That means we get to use the power of our imagination. We can close our eyes and we can imagine what it smells like about what's for dinner. We got another caller calling in right now.
Oh, might be Hannah.
It could be. Okay, I have a question for you after this caller, but here we go ahead. Aloha caller, you're on the air. There we go. Can you hear us?
Yes, Mele Kalikimaka.
Hi.
Hi, Mihi. Do you recognize my voice?
What's your name again?
Remember I just talked to you at the Farmer's Market Friday.
Oh, I think I might know.
Is that?
I've been cooking all afternoon and listening to this show. It's been so fun, Mihi.
Who are you?
Is this Auntie Nani?
Yes.
Yay.
Oh!
Auntie Nani.
Oh. How are you, Auntie Nani?
Oh, I'm so mighty. I'm getting hungry, though, because I've been cooking dinner.
Yeah, well, I'm getting hungry, too, because everybody's calling in with all their delicious food, and we're stuck in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, I know.
It's okay.
Well, my Ohana is all coming over. There's going to be a gang here tonight.
Oh, wow.
What are you guys having for dinner?
I'm doing the lamb roast.
Oh, lamb roast.
With mint jelly.
Oh, mint jelly.
And, Mihi, do you know what Brussels sprouts are?
Oh, yeah, they're like little cabbage.
Yes.
Yeah, little tiny micro cabbages.
I experimented that, too. And so I've got some sautéed Brussels sprouts with bacon.
Oh my God.
Everything's better with bacon.
Oh.
Some of my best vegetarian friends, they love bacon, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They kind of...
No, and it's so bad for you.
I know, but it's so good.
But it's so good. I know. I love anything bacon-flavored.
I know, right?
Yeah. Bacon even goes with chocolate, because that's another favorite thing I
Whoa.
Love.
Whoa. You ever have chocolate bacon ice cream?
What?
Could be good.
If
somebody can imagine it, somebody else can make it.
Oh, I would like some bacon dipped in chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That sounds so good.
Wouldn't that be delicious?
Wow.
Hey, Mihi, I like your dinner, too, man. I love grilled cheese sandwiches. Those are so... Oh, no, I like it crunchy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like them when you fry them up in butter.
And we have pumpkin bisque, too.
And pumpkin bisque? Oh, I never had that.
Oh, wow.
Maybe I got to experiment with that one sometime.
Yeah.
Brussels sprouts was an experiment, so I'm kind of happy. And then I got some olives in the oven, or the beeper just went off the timer. Okay.
All right, we'll let you go get that.
Yeah, the olives are done. And now I got to wait for the rest of everybody to come over. But do have a wonderful day, folks. Mahalo for all the mana'o you shared today. I love it.
Oh, thank you, Auntie.
The music earlier. Who was that?
Papa.
DJ, no, what, Schutz?
Oh, Schutz. Yeah, Schutz and Sarah had a great show this afternoon.
Schutz?
Yeah, all Christmas music, that's why. And that was exactly what I wanted to hear today.
I know, right?
Yeah. All righty then.
All right.
See you again soon.
All right. Aloha, Auntie.
Aloha, Mihi. Mahalo.
You're welcome. Is there any more callers?
Well, you know, there was a caller who just called in a minute ago, but then we didn't get to him fast enough.
Wow.
So we have time for maybe one more caller. All right, here it is. This is the last caller of the show. Woof. We're going to find out what's for dinner. You know what my question is for you?
What
has been your favorite dinner so far? And we're going to see if this caller can have something even more favorite than that. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Okay. Aloha,
hey,
caller.
Hey, Jonathan. That was me, Auntie Leslie.
You're the last caller on What's for Dinner, the show that makes you hungry.
I've been listening. It's been great. I'm making Hawaii made spicy barbecue sauce tempeh.
Oh, you're making tempeh.
What's tempeh?
Yeah, what is tempeh?
Tempeh is sort of like
instead of smooth, it's got the actual, soybeans in it.
So it's chunky.
Like meat. Yeah, more like meat.
Yeah.
So you fry it up, and you put the fry-made spicy barbecue sauce on it, and it sort of tastes like, barbecue chicken.
Oh, I saw. Oh, no.
And sweet potatoes.
Oh, sweet potatoes.
Fresh greens. And special magical oatmeal cookies for dessert.
What's for dessert?
Magical oatmeal cookies.
What makes them magic?
Added extra magic to them.
Oh, okay. So they got oatmeal, cookie, and magic inside.
Right. You can, drink the best of sugar fun dancing in your head.
Oh,
that
wow.
Sounds really good.
So I really enjoyed listening to you guys. I've been.
What's your name?
I'm Auntie Leslie.
Huh?
Oh, Auntie Leslie. Aloha, Auntie Leslie.
Aloha. Dog.
Do you have a dog?
Not at the moment.
Yeah, that's the one of the other things that Nihi loves, dinner and dogs. Maybe we should do a dog show next sometime, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
That could be fun.
Oh, my gosh.
So, well, thank you for doing this great show.
Oh, well, thank you for calling in. Thank you so much. All righty, aloha.
Merry Christmas.
So we're kind of coming to the end of the hour here. It's almost 6 o'clock. And, wow, so many delicious things for dinner.
Wait, but Hannah didn't call in.
I know. Maybe she tried to call in, but we didn't get to her. You'll have to tickle her when you get home.
I'll wrestle her.
There you go. But you know what? If I were you, I would wait until after dinner because I don't know about you, but I am so hungry right now.
Oh, yeah, me too.
So what was your favorite thing, the favorite dinner that people called in with?
I liked whatever Sean had.
What was it?
Poke.
Oh, the poke. Yeah, that did sound good. Well, that's all the time we have for tonight. So we're going to say aloha, ahui ho. And before the Dove comes up, he just came into the studio. Now he's going to play his show, Evolve. Crazy, beautiful music that even he doesn't know what it is. But before we do that, we're going to go out with the county council. Actually, there's no county council report this week because they're on holiday. So I want to thank everybody for calling in and sharing your lovely ideas for dinner and what you're cooking. Nihi, is there anything you want to say?
I just want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. Merry Christmas, Hannah!
Merry Christmas. Mele Kalikimaka. And I just got a text here that says I should get some half and half and maybe some Christmas bread on the way home. Okay, I will do that.
Ooh.
Yeah, thanks so much, everybody. Aloha and ahui ho.
Okay, can I take my headphones off?
You sure can.
Okay.
Hi.
Hi.
Next DJ, my name is Dove.
Hi, Dove. Do you have a dog?
No, I don't.
How sad.
Hey, come on.